At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
To hell and back is in the job description. Being roughed up, scuffed up, run over, kicked, thrown, dropped, dunked, and done the unthinkable is a duty we've embraced for more than 40 years. Through superior engineering and constant innovation, only Pelican has conquered the chaos a life of ambition can dish out. And we've done it to empower you.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
What is up, everybody?
That was so lame.
Welcome.
Compared to last week.
I know. Wait, hold on. Let me just get in.
Woo! What is going on, YouTube? Facebook, everywhere else you can stream. Stream away.
Of course, Waypoint. Go to Waypoint TV where you'll find Paddle and Finn. Welcome to the Paddle and Finn Show. We've got a great show going on today. Hi, Brian.
Jay has been fired up these past couple of weeks, boys and girls.
Hi, Brian.
How's it going, Jay?
I am doing okay, I guess.
You got some exciting stuff going on.
Yes, I do. But we won't say anything about that.
Tell okay.
You. It'll be right. A secret squirrel.
Keeping secrets.
Secrets.
I like it.
Secret squirrel.
Like it. To share the stream, you guys can go down in that lower left-hand corner, smash that share button. Let's get some folks in here. Drop it in the comments where you're tuning in from, what kind of kayak you're floating out of, and all that good stuff. Next trail event is July 31st. Is it 31st or 30th? 31st.
31st.
On the mighty Fox River here in Illinois.
The river.
Susie has put out the current AOI standing for the trail series. I think, I should have looked at this before we started, but top three is pretty tight-knit race, so it's getting interesting. We got two events left before we go into the championship up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, all that good stuff. I don't know if I've talked about it yet, but I will be down at ICAST. We're a little over a week away. I'll be doing some live shows from down there. That week, our OG show may be a little early due to me having to get on an aeroplane. So,
you can do Wi-Fi from the plane.
Dude, you think we could do a show live from the air?
I think it's worth a try.
OG show live from 40,000 feet.
I think the 40,000 foot episode.
Yeah, or 30,000. What is it?
I don't know.
The Mile High Club.
Well, let's not go there. But like, that's a whole different kind of show.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. Well, but, 2 minutes in, it's already bad.
Well, we got a pretty cool guest for you guys lined up tonight. We got none other than Mr. Blaine Upton coming at us straight from South Carolina. What's up, brother?
What's going on?
Not much, man. Not much. I feel like we've done this before.
Yeah, not too long ago, too.
Yeah, a few weeks back, I had Blaine on the New Canoe Unlimited show that I do on Tuesday nights over on the New Canoe Facebook and YouTube pages. And we got talking afterwards, and I was like, hey, we got to do this again, man. Let's get you over on Paddle and Fin. Young buck, you know, making some waves down there in South Carolina, running a tournament trail, wanting to get more involved in the industry and the sport itself. So I figured you'd be a good dude to sit down and chat with and, you know, kind of help get your name out there and let the good folks know who you are, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate y'all having me, man. I'm really excited about it.
Like we told you before the show started, the invoice is in the mail, bro.
Yeah,
that's right. Hey. You know, our rates are pretty much, you know, current with the market. So, I mean, you know, don't worry. You won't be out much.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it's definitely worth every penny.
He's got a new baby, dude. He's already out much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to send out a new invoice then.
Oh, man. Well, why don't you give us a little background, man? Where you're from, you know, how you got into fishing, kayak fishing, and all that good stuff, brother.
Yeah, so I am from the central region of South Carolina, a little town called Chapin. Is where I grew up, right on Lake Murray. Fishing, been doing it since I was a little kid, man. Granddad got me into it, and I mean, it didn't take long. I was hook, line, and sinker, no pun intended. Nice. But anyways. Dad jokes, they come, I'm telling you. But anyways, so I started fishing at probably 3 years old, and it's always been strictly bass, man. It's what I like to do. Fished some high school tournaments when I was in high school, helped run the Chapin High School Bass Club, and from there went to college, slowed down on my fishing a little bit, and then ended up moving back home, and I'm in the same town now and helping run tournament trails with Palmetto State Kayak Bass Fishing. And we're a learning club. We do smaller tournaments all across the state, and we it's a good time, man. I've gotten into kayak fishing here recently. I've only been doing it for about 2.5 years, so I've made some leeway, and I enjoy it a lot. There's something about the tangle when you're that close to the water is a lot better than being in a boat to me. I don't know.
Sure.
Why,
for sure, man.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, I've been recently doing some retyping of the old fishing resume, and it's, I remember I wrote something almost specifically like that. Like the intimacy when you're that close to the water catching fish, man, it's just, it's something special. And it's hard to explain to people. You almost have to show them what it's about.
Gives you a little tingle in the jingle.
A little dangle in the jangle.
No, I was trying to, like, don't, man. We just bit off that completely.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, I do a lot of river fishing around here. It's what I'm into. So, I'm good on the lakes and everything, but I find that the river more suits my deal. So I heard y'all were having a tournament on the river coming up. So
yeah,
that's,
man,
what made me think about it. I was like, man, it's like, if only I could get all the way up there.
The river's about 5 blocks that way.
It's super close.
It's close. That's why we got this little spot, because
that and the barbecue joints.
Yeah, barbecue's top notch, bro.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's actually a nice town over here.
Yeah.
That's good.
Not too shabby.
They got like a little whitewater park too.
Yeah.
So if you want to, like, you know, do some whitewater, well, you know, about Illinois style, you know, it's brutal, bro.
Yeah.
It's like for a good 100 feet, it's the fastest raging water you've ever seen. That's only about 5 feet deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were some kids out there when I came over the bridge tonight. They were out there ripping through the rapids.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. But man, river fishing, it seems like everybody I talk to now out of the Southeast, like, that's their jam, is river fishing. Like, what is it about the rivers for you, man?
For me, it's getting away from the traffic, man.
I mean, yeah.
So all these lakes around here are heavily pressured with pleasure boats, wakeboard boats, and man, it can be dangerous. And I mean, even though everybody knows you can do it safely, but I mean, getting away from the traffic, the clear water, you know, a little bit of current, cooler water. And I mean, it just, it holds more fish this kind of time of year. And I can still fish shallow. We had a conversation about that on
LinkedIn. Yeah, yeah.
I love to fish shallow. And man, I find any way I can to do it year round.
See, that's right up your alley, man. You're a shallow guy.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. I like going out deep.
I'm just going to walk right by that. Yeah. Like Brian's trying to like drive this thing right into the wall. I don't get it. Like I'm the bad one. You're the good one.
I was legitimately being serious. You like to fish shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly do.
But what's like, you guys don't have shoalies up there, right? You guys are just like smallmouth and largemouth, right?
You can find occasional shoalie in the Savannah chain, and that's okay. That's in between Georgia and South Carolina. I mean, there's some rivers over there. I know Adam, I'm going to butcher his last name, Crawley or Cawley.
I think it's Cawley, yeah.
But he's on the team with, man, he wears out shoalies, and he's just a few hours from me. He actually made a trip down to fish my backyard a couple weeks ago. I didn't have the chance to get out there with him, but
I told him
I'd take him next time, but.
This is a total off question, and this is something that like just drives me nuts, and maybe you can answer it.
Okay.
Down south, y'all call bluegill brim.
Brim.
Why do you guys call them brim? I've never understood that.
So I think it's just a southern thing, man. Like I know you hear that a lot, but I think brim is just an all encompassing of all the bluegill species, so you don't have to.
Okay.
It's brim. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay. Bluegill, red ear.
Green sunfish, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know, man. It's always wondered. The first person I actually heard say that, and this is what made me think of it, was JD DeRozier. Hmm. Yeah. He's in South Carolina, and he's like, man, I was out on my lake catching some brim on the fly rod with the popper.
I think it's just easier to say brim than like bluegill.
I mean, yeah. Like, I guess.
You know, it's like brim. It's like brim just rolls off the lips, or brim, you know, bluegill. You know? It's like, and everything's a bluegill, let's be honest, right?
Yeah, right.
Everyone's
right.
Like, they don't even care. It's a bluegill.
Yeah,
there's a few bluegill snobs. Yeah.
Or
there,
you want to be cool, it's a gilly.
Yeah, gilly.
Yeah. Gillies.
Never even heard that before.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's what I call them when we catch them through the ice.
We can give you that north to south.
Yeah.
It's yours.
You guys got brim. We got gilly gillies.
I'll take it with me.
Yeah. Start spreading the word, man. Just start saying to people, watch their head go like a dog. Like, what? What?
You guys down there getting some gillies?
Yeah. Yeah. Just be like, yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. I was just getting some gillies, man. Like, right on the rocks, bro. You know?
Oh, man. So out there crushing the smallies. Look, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Garrett Pate in the house. What's up, gents?
Everybody's got like professional fisherman names.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Blaine Upton. You know, Garrett Pate.
Like, yeah, dude, I can see those names being said on like the Bassmaster stage.
Yeah, for real.
Like I walk up there and they're like Brian Schiller.
Yeah. They're like, how do you say this? Is this is this Shakiller Schiller? You know. It's Shiler.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you got Jay Randall.
Yeah. Like I know.
You all get I guess I need a bass name. Yeah. I need a fisherman.
You'd be
name.
Like, it's Shiler.
I tell you what, yeah, drop in the comments what my professional fishing name should be. Yeah. Best answer. Oh, and we'll put a post up tomorrow on Facebook if you guys are listening to this on the podcast platforms later. And the best answer, we'll give away a Paddle and Fin t-shirt. There you go.
I was going to say, we got a rubber hammer.
Good thing we got that sitting on the shelf, Jay. So there you go. We'll give away a Paddle and Fin t-shirt. So best answer.
It can be dirty too. Who cares?
Oh God. But anyways, getting out on the rivers, man. What boat are you floating out of? And are you usually paddling? You pedaling? Motor?
Man, so my rivers, I fish the Broad and the Saluda, and both of them are pretty shallow. I mean, in the areas that I fish, so I try not to take any kind of propulsion out there. I'm with a paddle. I float a Flint at the moment. I'm looking at the F10. I've never Never owned one, so I'm kind of looking at the F10. But I've had my Pursuit out on the river too. But I don't try with the propulsion. It's too expensive. You don't break it.
I know. I was talking to Garrett Pate about that down south there, man. Like F10s are like huge for river boats.
Yeah.
Everybody likes them. Everybody likes them.
Makes sense because you're really only going one direction most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I like that Flint, man. I'm just a big, tall, fat guy, so it's not the most stable for me. I mean, I make it work. Don't get me wrong.
It does kind of look like a whitewater boat with you.
Yeah, right? Like, it looks odd with me in it, but, you know, 6'4", like 250, you know? So it's just like, I make it work.
Hey, you floated.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I fell out of it once going down the whitewater park down the street.
That's not a joke.
That's serious.
I've done it too, but I probably shouldn't have been where I was at. Let's not blame it on the boat. I'm definitely going to blame it on a questionable decision trying to get to the pool.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's funny what you do, because I remember doing the Liska, and like, I remember the two guys that were there, these two kids in these whitewater boats, and they're just like, these guys really gonna do this? And all this water like came over. The Liska survived. I pulled off to the side. And I realized at that point, this is a terrible idea. Like, I'm gonna lose stuff. You know, I look back, Brian's already in the water. It's already over with. You know, he's already fallen out. He lost his flip flops. You know?
Yeah, dude, that was the worst because I had to walk across the gravel up to the blacktop parking lot that was steaming hot, dude.
Yeah.
And then I had to drive home barefoot.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going the rest of the way. We were like right above a dam too.
Yeah.
I was like, we have to go the other way. Yeah, I mean, the rest of the day was good fishing.
Yeah, we caught some fish, some nice smallies.
Yeah, I mean, after you know the death-defying antics.
Oh man,
full send sometime the way to go.
Yeah,
we're just practicing for the southern stuff.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Yeah.
What's your favorite style of bait to throw for the smallmouths when you're up in the river, man?
Dude, top water. Catch them on top water, sweet. It really is, and it's weird because, you know, Murray's a blueback herring lake, and I grew up kind of, you know, running and gunning points, throwing top waters and working them as fast as I could across, you know, choppy water. But whenever I got on the river for the first time and got to catch a couple on top water in these eddies and where current breaks and starting to learn how to fish that kind of stuff, I mean, it was really cool because, you know, it's gin clear. You can see straight through it, and then this fish just comes out of nowhere and cannonballs it. I mean, you can't beat it.
Schiller Giller. That's my professional bass name.
Schiller Giller?
Oh, man. How's it going, Mom? How's it going?
Oh, we got Mom in the house. Mom, give us some dirt on this young man.
Oh,
there you go.
Give us a nice, funny, embarrassing story.
We'll do it.
I like where this is going.
I do like where this is going.
Mom's getting a free t-shirt.
Yeah. I love it.
Yo,
oh, that's too good. But, well, I remember you were telling me you did some fishing in Florida, right? You lived down there, or like your grandparents or something lived down there?
So my wife is originally from about 2 hours outside of Tampa.
Okay.
So pretty much every couple of months we've got to make a trip down, see the in-laws, let everybody see the baby. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing either, because there's so much to do down there, man. The fishing's just sick. It really
is.
Oh, I'm gonna have to agree with you, man. Do you fish a lot of freshwater, or do you do the fish old Tampa Bay?
Man, I'm pretty much strictly bass. I don't do a lot of coastal fishing. I'll go after reds every now and again. It's fun to hook into them, and it's essentially saltwater bass fishing, but something about it, man. I constantly like to test my skill against these green ones. I don't know what my deal is. It's a addiction. I swear it is. It costs money just like one does.
I'm
constantly upgrading gear and, you know, ready to go out and go again. You know, you break something, you don't even blink about it. Just buy a new one. And, you know, it's not even questions asked. It's just something I've always had just such a passion for. And I mean, ever since a young age. So I've always loved it. I really have.
I'm going to say, man, when you go down there, go hit old Tampa Bay, man. Get off some of those rocks, and yeah, you know when the bring some inline spinners, man. You'll catch everything.
Yeah,
like snook too, man. Snook, redfish, you know, puffer fish. They got yellowtail jacks out there. If I'm saying that right, they might be called something else, but I don't know. I had to have like. Cause I didn't know anything I was catching. I had to have like one of those laminated pieces of like paper with like all the names. Cause I don't want to like get bit. I'm like trying to figure stuff out as I'm bringing it in. I'm like,
does this one have teeth?
Yeah. I had the girlfriend with, I'm like, hold that up. All right. They look like that. Okay. I can gill that. Okay. I'm going to gill that. You know?
That's funny. Oh, man. What do you think the big difference is between like fishing at home where you're at or down in Florida, man? I mean, Florida is always a huge bass destination for guys, you know?
Yeah. And I caught myself, man. I was doing a couple of things I do at home. So I do a lot of weightless plastic fishing. Like I love to throw a fluke. It's like one of my favorite things to throw. And so I'm getting down to Florida. I get on the boat with this dude and he's like, hey, bring your flipping stick, bring 85 pound braid, 1.5 ounce weight. He's like, you better snell your hook, because if you don't, you're going to break it off. And I was like, what in the world? So did everything, got down there, and I'm sitting on the back of the boat, and he's doing something basically I've never done. Got no confidence in it. I've never flipped mats before. And so I'm in the back of the boat chunking a fluke around. One giant comes up and eats it, buries himself down in the grass, and I was like, I've only got 10-pound test. It's probably 10
I'm going in.
Yeah. You know? So I end up shoulder deep in a grass mat pulling this fish out. And then I'll tell you, I lost one that day. I threw a Strike King Sexy Dog over an eelgrass flat, and this head weight came up behind it. And the fish was well over 10, man. That's what everybody kept saying. And I broke him off. Still not that happy about that one, but major differences, man, just power fishing. You can leave all the finesse stuff behind, and that's something I've never, that's a disconnect for me. And sure. So picking up a 7.76 extra heavy and pitching in there, and next thing you know, you're hooked up with a giant underneath a 60 pounds of grass. It's crazy. It really is.
Do you guys, I mean, here's a northerner question. you guys got gators down there?
Oh yeah.
South Carolina?
You gotta worry about them out
there? Yeah, so Santee Cooper has a bunch of them, man. My buddy's got the state record for gator hunting. He's got the longest gator in South Carolina. He holds the record of 13'6".
Because I've heard about them like hanging out like on the banks, because you've got those drop offs, so hang down on that lower end and just like watch and chill. And I'm like thinking, as a kayaker, got feet hanging over.
Nope.
You're just kind of chilling. Nope. You're just like, you know,
see, that's why it's keeping me from like going to Alabama.
We would forget like that there's like
Georgia, South Carolina now.
Well, I mean, so my portion of the state doesn't have any. So it's probably an hour
from
my house to Santee. And they're towards the coast a little bit. And so
I'll come fishing with you.
Yeah, that's salty. I think as you get down towards the salt, I mean, it's a better habitat for them. Water stays warmer longer during the year. But we've got some monsters in the state. In Florida, man, we saw some giants. I mean,
oh yeah, my buddy was continually yelling at me. He's like, dude, stop walking towards water, just not watching.
Yeah,
I'm like, Sinead's got me all paranoid. I'm like watching him, like, oh god, like, you know, I'm thinking I'm gonna get bit.
They're so terrified of you, man. They're gone in a second. I mean, it's the ones that people have fed and have gotten sort of aggressive like that you got to worry about. But Santee doesn't have there's just so many of them. I just don't think you deal with that too much.
Yeah, I didn't really see too many. I remember in the Glades, we were looking, like, you only saw them where they feed them.
Yeah,
and that one
I don't even want to see them.
They were really big, the ones that they feed. I'm sure. I was like, oh, no.
I remember fishing Lake Tarpon down in Florida, which is just north of Tampa, right north of Clearwater there, Tarpon Springs, and seeing them when we were in a boat fishing, and I was like,
my favorite story was, like, I was staying on a private lake of this one guy's, or one of my buddy's house, and everybody's got a private lake out there, but he's like, we're in a shaded area, and he's like, yeah, man, when you get hot, just go ahead and just jump in the water and cool off. I'm like, oh, No, that's not gonna be a problem. And he's like, why? I'm like, you know, well, gators. He's like, believe me, they're a lot more scared of you than you are of them. Yeah. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
I'm pretty sure they got way more teeth than I do too.
I was like, I can't even see the depth of the water, and there's all this grass line. I'm pretty sure there's one I know. I'm not getting in the water making a bunch of ruckus. Yeah, it's just not happening.
Yeah, no, I'll pass.
Yeah,
when you were talking about you like doing a lot of like weightless plastics, fishing. What's like your go-to setup? Like rod, reel, line. All that good stuff, man.
So line, I keep it constant, man. Straight fluorocarbon all the way. I throw Seaguar Red Label. Usually try and keep it between 10 and 12, depending on the water clarity. That's the reason I like the fluorocarbon is you get a little more snap back whenever one comes up and blows up on it, which can be a bad thing, too, because I got a tendency to pull it out of their mouths. But 3-0 EWG, rod and reel-wise, man, I throw a couple different rods. I've got a Lose Mock series that I really like for the fluke. And the reason I have the Mock series is because they're not, you know, overly crazy expensive. And when I fish the river as much as I do out of a kayak, you know, there's always a tendency to break gear. So I don't want to.
Sure.
But outside of that, 7 foot to 7 foot three medium action, you know, have something with just a little bit of backbone, but you still want a little bit of give so they can actually, you know, chomp down on it and get the whole bait in their mouth. Because another thing I like to do, I like to throw double fluke rigs or donkey rigs, whatever you want.
Make them swim, right?
Like, yeah, so basically that's the only way I fish one. So like I almost fish them like a glide bait, that twitch underwater. Mm-hmm. I don't like it to come up and float on the surface unless I'm fishing blueback herring lakes. If I'm fishing blueback herring lakes, a lot of times I'll chunk the thing and just reel it on top and you'll
smash it.
Yeah, it's nuts. But whenever I'm fishing somewhere, I need to be a little bit more subtle, the river, that clear water. I swim and it's a side to side motion, almost like you're walking the dog, but it's underwater. Mm-hmm. So when those fish don't want to commit to the actual top water, or the walking bait or the popper, you can chunk a fluke back in there and they'll be much more apt to grab it.
So are you targeting anything specific? Like, I mean, generally I've seen that technique like over like tall grass with, you know, you got like a 5 to 3 feet of water, you know, where you get enough swimming space.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, anytime. So you're either going to want to work it really fast to try and get them to come out of the cover and get a reaction on it, or you're going to want to work it really slow. It just depends on their mood. So each one has its own specific application. When I'm working it slow, it's going to be once that sun gets up, once it gets hot, once these fish get a little bit more lethargic, but you still want to cover a lot of water and be able to go find the ones that stay more aggressive during the day. And when I find them, then I'll slow down and might even pitch something different in there at them. But I don't think there's another bait out there besides a fluke that gets as many bites as it does and covers as much water as it does. And that's just my own personal opinion. I almost start no wars, but
war has been started.
do you ever like change your hooks? Like, I know you said you like to use EWGs, and that's kind of like, I'm not going to say that's a thick wire, but it's definitely one of the thicker type hooks. And then I always find that if you switch to like an Eagle Claw, like I'm kind of a fan of like the working man's gear, and that in those are thinner, you know, and then you can use that medium action with like even a lighter action line, or you know, continue with your 10 to 12 pound test floral,
right?
And you can still get a like an easy set. You don't even have to do anything really.
Yeah And I have such a tendency when I get blown up on, or I see one actually eat it, I have such a tendency to just rear back into them, and that's my main issue. That's why I try to absorb a little bit of that with my setup. I mean, I try to adjust to that. It's the little kid in me gets all excited.
Garrett Pate says, I got something that will change your mind.
Oh man, see, here we go.
Shout out to Tyler Daniels, first time joining us live here on the podcast. Welcome, brother.
Yes sir, thank you for coming.
Nice.
Yeah, it's interesting, man, that that fluke action. I'll throw it for a year, then I won't touch it for two, and then I'll pick it up again. But No. Yeah, it's interesting, but I'm the same way, man. Medium rod, fast action tip, 7'2". I'm usually using 8-pound floral clear by P-Line. So it's like that coal polymer, you know?
Yeah.
Or like
a little stretch.
Yeah. Little bit. Mm-hmm. But it seems like that hookup ratio, like you were saying, sometimes you pull it out of their mouth, it just gives them a little extra time to just chomp down on it, which is, I don't know. That's my secret. That's all you're getting out of me.
Yeah. It's a good way to lose flukes out here too.
The juice. Juice. You're getting some of the juice here. But we talked about it. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. What's your go-to color on the fluke? White or?
Dude, so actually I've got a small company here in Chapin. It's called Southern Custom Plastic Baits. And he shoots his own colors, and he has a shad color combination and a blueback herring color combination that, oh my God, man, they're amazing. They really are. And they're a little bit softer than the Zoom plastic.
Okay.
Which you go through a few more, but man, your hookup ratio is almost, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean,
like softer, like a Yamamoto Senko softer.
Yeah, going in that direction. Yeah,
I
have to let you feel it, but it's nuts. It really is. I mean, I found myself missing a bunch of fish on the Zoom fluke, switching over to that one, chunking it back out there, having them eat it, and then just they get it almost every time, and that's something you got to look for.
So we got a question from Tyler. We'll let you answer first, and then Jay and I will chime in.
Cool.
He needs to know a good rod for Ned rig for smallmouth. He went in the river for the first time the other day, and a smallmouth snapped his loose spinning rod in half.
Well, I mean,
that was the Moby Dick at smallmouth.
Yeah, no kidding. You caught a monster, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
So, Ned rig-wise, I like to go with the lightest setup I can, especially when I'm fishing bottom hopping baits like shaky heads, Ned rigs, you know, the stuff that belongs on a spinning rod.
Sure.
So I like a 7'0" medium action, just like I do for my fluke, but in a spinning rod. And I go for the lightest rod I can find. I know there's the guy that makes my spinning rod. It's 803 Custom Rods. Obviously, that's our area code here in Columbia. So he's right here, and he makes a good rod, uses MHX blanks. But lose, I can't. I have a hard time. Have a hard time seeing one snapping in half without a bigger, deeper problem. Because those are some dang good rods, man.
Lose have a lifetime warranty on those things?
They do have a good warranty, so definitely look into that.
Yeah, we're definitely looking at it. What's your Ned rig rod?
I would say like the 6'9" medium moderate Veritas.
Veritas.
That's what it is, right?
We call it Veritas. We call it a Veritas.
Veritas.
Yeah.
I've
heard it both ways.
Yeah. So you know, he just talked weird down there, but
that's how to say you, buddy.
Yeah. Whatever. But no, I mean, and then I'm usually using like 8-pound test, and that's like. I mean, that's a good rod too for like drop shotting, wacky rigging. I don't generally run a Texas rig on there, like a weightless Texas rig, but I will. But I mean, that's a good all around setup, I think, personally. Yeah. I mean, it's that medium moderate seems where it's at because you kind of need that give.
Yeah. Being in the kayak game like we are, man, you've got to have multi-purpose rods. You can't have 30 rods on the boat with you. It's just it's not the way it works. So you've got to have something that you can throw 5 or 6 different things on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I really find that I load my kayak. I mean, I buy rods pretty much in pairs. So when I buy, usually when I break one, I buy two. That way when I break the next one, I ain't in a bad position.
Right.
Sure. And I
It happens.
And I was going to say, additionally, I think it really makes a difference on what kind of water you're fishing. So if you're in skinny water that has a lot of low hanging trees, you're probably going to want to go the 6'9" or even 6'6".
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can get away with it, but I mean, if you got all the room, you know, I mean, you can go 7 foot, you know, maybe a little longer if you want.
I use a Douglas rods,
don't worry,
610. I just hit the jackpot. It's their X Matrix series. It's the 610 XF. So it's 6'10", and it's got an extra fast tip that's just super sensitive. But I mean, I've snapped into some pretty chunky fish with that little rod, man. It performs. I love it. You know, I've tried to throw it on my 7.2 that I would use for like my fluke setup, Texas Rig Senko, things like that. And like that 6'10" Douglas, dude, it's just the bee's knees. Mm-hmm. I actually, when Brad Hicks was up here and we were fishing the river for smallmouth, and he's like, yeah, let me try one of those. And I was like, well, you're a Ned Rig guy. I'm like, here, try this. And he didn't want to give it back to me after we got done. He was, and that's when he went out and bought a bunch of Douglas rods. But yeah, man, he said it was a lose Mach 2. I almost had it to the yak, then swam down and snapped it. I'm only 2-pound smallmouth.
Maybe your drag was too tight too.
Yeah,
and it could be too. Like I've had multiple conversations with guys about this too, like in kayaks. Like if your line is too close to your tip and you try to like high stick that rod, sometimes that's what does it, you know. Try not to do that unless you got like a good decent amount of length of rod, and then like, you know, I know I'm out of camera, but, you know, do one of those moves, you know what I mean, with your rod while you're leaning down to grab the fish, if that makes sense.
The coordination. Yeah,
it is. It's all about coordination. That's true. Man. Garrett Pate chimed in. He said St. Croix 6'8", extra fast.
See, everybody's
medium.
Well, that's a little different.
Lawrence said Shimano Zodius 6'10", medium light. Phenomenal for Ned.
Medium light. Yeah. So yeah, it seems to be where
everybody's, so yeah, everybody's in that like 6'8" to 7', you know, yeah. Medium light action. So hopefully that helps. Thanks for the question, man. If anybody else has got any questions as we're going along, feel free to drop them in the chat. Boom. That's what we do here.
We edumacate.
Oh, is that it? Is that it?
Wait, is that how they say it down there by you?
No, no, I'm just kidding.
Now you're starting fights.
Yeah,
dude.
Come on. Let's see.
Now you're starting fights.
Hey, I've heard it before. Trust me.
We just got canceled.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
thanks,
it's
Jay.
Like, just don't make us say a couple of our words up here, and then you'll know exactly where we're from.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All it takes is ask them how they pronounce the word crappy.
Yeah, I know.
Goes from there.
Crappies?
Yeah, crappie. Yeah. That's the right way to say it.
Crappies?
that's the telltale right there.
Oh, that's great, man. Well, another thing you mentioned at the beginning, man, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit too, was you help run Palmetto State Kayak Anglers, and I think that's you do that with Barry Davis.
I was going to say that and he has the answer probably.
Yeah, because, well, I did a pod recently with Barry too. You guys, you said you're a learning club. So kind of explain that concept, man.
So our whole goal is to get people into the sport. You know, some guys will go out there and get discouraged, especially when, you know, they don't limit out or, you know, they have a rough day. And I mean, we're there to tell them like, hey, I do this all the time and I zero sometimes. I mean, it happens to the best of us.
Sure.
I mean, if you hit it, you can hit a block in the wall, nothing can go right, break fish off, lose fish, end up with a goose egg and feel absolutely down about yourself. So we're there 3 fish limit, man, 8-inch minimum. We try to educate. It's not about, you know, winning per se. I mean, although it is nice, of course, but, our whole goal is to educate and get people into the sport. Cause I mean, we have a passion for it. I think our board consists of 4 or 5 guys and we have a passion for it. And it's always great to share it with other people and get other people into it. I mean, there's a guy in our club that you know, he kept asking questions about, hey, you know, I'm having trouble with finesse fishing, still haven't caught a fish on a shake head or anything. And there's 38 comments below there, people giving tips and pointers the next day, post pictures with 2 and 3 fish. I'm like, dude, okay, you know, you're moving in the right direction. And just goes to show that there's a camaraderie about it. All of us are into sharing our passion, and it's fun. It really is.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? And especially now, man, like as crazy as kayak fishing has been since COVID, you know, like we all know nobody can get boats, you know, manufacturers are running around the clock to get caught up and things like that, you know, shortages on parts and plastics and all that stuff, man. And, but, you know, in the meantime, there's a lot of new anglers coming into the sports. And, you know, for instance, Tyler said, you know, thanks guys, new at the kayak game helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what's huge, man. Like we all, I think as a community, need to step up and help educate some of these guys. Tyler, you better be wearing your PFD.
Yeah.
If I ever see you on the water.
That's right.
That's rule number one.
We'll chastise.
Yeah. I will walk on water to get to you.
Yeah. I don't know, that 250 pound frame, I think you're going in.
But you know, I mean, that's huge, man. Like, you know, I know Jay started in a local club here. I started fishing that same local club as well. You know, it's you know, that smaller club level, you know, I think they could have do like a bunch of education stuff with you guys, like try to help guys out, like when it was like in its infancy, when you first got into that club?
I mean, you could always ask people stuff, and like Tony Lamb, I used to talk to him a lot.
Sure.
Because he's like the ultimate, like, patient fisherman.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I mean, Tony, for listening, I don't know what you're doing these days, but I mean, I just remember him just sitting there like throwing plastics all the time. And I'm like, I'm a power fisherman. I'm too ADD for it. I'm like, I just can't sit here and just pick apart something I can't keep throwing. But, you know, he would always have something good to say. And, like, I mean, if you go to somebody and ask them, I mean, if they were, I don't remember them ever holding any kind of like little meetings or anything, you know, just to kind of teach. But yeah,
they were there to help.
Yeah. And they'd give you stuff too. I mean, if you needed some stuff, you know, they'll give you whatever you need.
Yeah. No, for sure. And Nicholas Beltran in the chat, what's up, brother? Says amazing community, and naturally we are helpers for each angler no matter the level.
Yeah,
I think that's the best way it's been said, man. You know, which is super cool. Jerry Ward, 840, is this still live? Yes, sir, we are still live. You're late to the party, but we are still here and kicking.
Yeah, it's currently 3:55 p.m. Central Standard Time.
No, but no, that's huge, man. I know, just from talking to you, I've talked to Barry before. Barry's been on a couple of the different segments here on Paddle and Fin and stuff. And it's super cool what you guys are doing, man. And I remember you told me you guys have grown quite a bit too, right? Like you went from like a small number of guys to like now you're like, what, 40 or something?
Yeah. So last year, you know, I fished the trail last year. I came on to help do what I do probably February of this year.
Okay.
Last year we averaged in, you know, the low to mid 20s. And then, you know, we got going and trying to do a little bit of promotion. I got on social media and started really pushing everything. And Kiwi, that's our first tournament of the year. And Lake Kiwi is in February. We always like, for our first couple winter tournaments, we like to launch out of the same ramp for safety reasons. If something happens.
Sure.
So we had 43, and sometimes that does hurt turnouts, and we had like 43 people show up for the first tournament of the year for a single launch event, and we were like, whoa, like, this is nuts, you know.
That's awesome.
Which we were glad we got the board together, because Lord have mercy, check in and check out that day were kind of
crazy.
Yeah, because we're still old school right now. So
are you seeing a lot of females coming out too?
We've got a couple that fish with us. Not nearly, not enough. We need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd agree, man. Ladies, come on out. Fish.
Ladies come out and fish with us. I mean, and once again, we're a learning club. Like, we're always down to help people out. Even, I mean, look at Christine Fisher. She's out there. She's whooped my tail multiple times. So, yep. I mean, it goes to show you can do it. Come on out. Like, just come fish. Yeah.
Well, fishing's like, you know, that's an even playing field for anybody.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, even if, like, you know, you have, like, you know, some kind of a disability, you know, like walking or something, it's like, you know, hey, you can still get out there and fish. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, that's what we like to see is just everybody getting out there and no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, Nicholas said, Blaine, mad respect. I started getting serious with this once I came on board with a sea trail. He's with Kayak Angler, Florida. Mm-hmm.
See, okay.
Yeah,
dude, he's got a good pro name too.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. Everybody's got
a Frankie Wolf in the chat. That's a good pro name. Reese Melvin, like Frankie, Tyler Daniels.
Yeah. Frankie Wolf is almost hitmanish too. Dude, you know,
Frankie Wolf. He fishes our trail, man. That guy is an absolute stick. He really is.
Even Jerry Ward, man, like that's a great pro name too.
I'm just gonna reinvent myself.
I got screwed, man.
I know.
We should call my old man right now and be like, dude.
It's definitely his fault.
Seriously?
I mean, this too.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, Dad never said I got my looks from him, but geez, man, at least you could have gave me a cool angler name.
Yeah.
Winning the 2022 Bassmaster Classic, Brian Schiller.
Yeah, Fishy Schiller.
Schiller the Giller. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom's still in the chat. She said, Schiller the Giller. See, I like that. I like that.
Crappie Schiller.
I like that. Crappie I like Schiller. That.
Dude, I remember we were in Bass Pro once and my kid was like reading all the names and he was young. And he's like, you know, he's like, oh, largemouth bass. He's like, pike. And he gets a crappie. He goes, I say this word, you know, like that's crappy. He's like, good. Cause I thought it was crappy. Still said it anyway. I was like, you're too young to be saying that, kid.
That's cool, man. That's cool. But, no, it's super cool, man. Like we need more of that educational feel instead of like that hardcore competitive feel. You know what I mean? And some of the smaller clubs, like it's so huge, man. It goes a long way. And a lot of you know, folks that get into those, you know, more laid back learning clubs, man, they seem to stick with it much longer.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, agreed.
There's some talk in the chat here. Reese is calling out Frankie. He said he's actually pro. And then Chad Walden said he's pro at talking trash. So I don't know what's going on there, Frankie. I'm sticking up for you because you got a badass name. You leave Frankie alone.
I know. Even Reese Melvin, man. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I feel so lame now.
Yeah. See, Frank,
I gotta quit.
Frankie said Palmetto State is doing it right, man. That's awesome, man. You guys should be proud of that. That's super cool.
Yeah. I mean, super it's cool. Always. It's pretty rewarding, man. Everybody says it's a thankless job. And I mean, I disagree to a certain extent. I disagree because, man, it's really awesome to see these guys come up and go start fishing, you know, national events and finishing half decent. You know, they get pumped up about that stuff. And it's like, dude, look where you started. Mm-hmm. Look where you're at. Like, this is huge. And I mean, it's just, it's fulfilling for me. It is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, I'm getting called out by Richard. He said I'm lying. What am I lying about?
I don't know.
Why
do you always got to come in here like starting trouble?
Like, because that's what Richard does.
He just like waits just like for us to come out. He's just sitting here chilling. Like, yeah, don't go down any water slides, Rich.
Nicholas also said there's also very cool down-to-earth companies that help out as well, always willing to lend a hand. And I've seen that too, man. Like, boat companies lending boats for like volunteer events or like teaching things. He said for my fishing name, Lion Brian.
Yeah.
Lion Brian.
Thanks.
Oh, man.
But Yeah, man, it's definitely cool to see. Definitely cool to see. Chad Walden says big things come from Blaine Upton. Hard work. That's awesome, man.
I think it's kind of cool too, because we have like our own, like, you know, we have our own community.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're gonna have our own people we look up to and people you lean on for certain things. And you kind of see, you know, in a lot of the forums, the people who are, you know, always in there and you know, responding when they can. And you know, and like, you know, you're running a series and you're putting a lot of effort into it. And I mean, it shows, you know, and that'll go a long way. You know, down the line, there's definitely gonna be a payoff for you. You know, I don't know what that's gonna be.
Sure.
You know, because it doesn't have to be fiscal, but I mean, you know, I mean, there'll be something to it, but I mean, it's important that people keep pushing. It's kind of like we said before, you got to keep pushing this along.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's just going to stall. You know,
I mean, that's why we're here every week.
That's true.
You know,
so that's why we make the trek.
This is why we do this.
Yep.
Yeah. Tyler was mentioning in the chat. Chad Hoover was on the podcast on Monday on the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment, and I listened to it, and Chad was talking about how, like, sometimes, like, a lot of guys that are getting into kayak fishing feel like, you know, they need the baddest boat and the baddest gear and all that stuff. And Chad, in there said he had thought it, that everybody should start with like a basic milk crate with four PVC tubes zip tied to it.
Sure.
And it should be a rite of passage to move to like a black pack or the XD crate by Yak Gadget. And, you know, Tyler's saying that it, you know, it got him thinking, like, you don't have to have all the stuff to catch a bass, which is 100% true. Like, there's been so many times, dude, where I've fished a tournament and I got eight rods in my crate. Mm-hmm. I got freaking 3,700 boxes, like multiple bags of plastic. I might go into one 3,700 box, stay to two bags of plastics, and use two rods.
Oh, like,
you know, like, it's that old saying, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You know, true. Like, sometimes that's just what you got to do, man. That's just what you got to do. But
I don't even change lures. I don't know why I bring them all with. I just hope, like, you know, I just like splash a little holy water on it. I'm like, I just hope I get something.
Nicholas also said he appreciates these kinds of platforms and the hard work you guys have to do in order to help promote our true passions. We need to get that dude on.
Yeah.
Nicholas is always in the chat, man. He's always, look at Peacock Bass. Like, yo, slide into our DMs, bro. Let's get you on the show. Yeah. Let's get you on the show.
And, but, you know, don't be showing off so much. Like, throw some smaller fish on your profile.
Who's Brian Mitchell?
So Brian Mitchell runs another club in the state. They run a tournament trail called Santee Monster Kayaking.
Okay.
They run it straight off of Santee Cooper. They fish different areas of both lakes. I've fished a couple of their events. There's a bunch of really good guys down there too. And that's the cool thing. I mean, it's not like at least in our region, it's never, everybody fighting for different participants. Like, every trail in our state, and even in North Carolina, we all look at each other's schedules and KBF schedules, and we adjust to not step on toes. I mean, there's four weekends a month. You can do an event once a month. You've got four choices. Mm-hmm. Obviously, sometimes you're going to step on toes, but, I mean, it's just one of those things. Why not just have everybody come to all of these events instead of fighting for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that many times.
Yeah, we did the same thing, like, when we formed our trail, because obviously we're in, what is it, five states? Yeah, five states. And there's obviously multiple clubs in each state that we went to. So we kind of tried to coordinate with all those different states. So, you know, we weren't taken away from their events. And, you know, give a chance for, you know, some guys to fish something a little bit bigger, you know, on a bigger scale if they wanted to, or just fish the one event when it came into town, man.
Well, and we partner with the clubs.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're not going against any clubs. We're definitely trying to bring in those clubs too.
Yeah. And we're trying to promote those clubs. Like, our last event, Madison Chain, we did that with Great Lakes Kayak Fishing Series. Like, it was a joint event. Like, that's what's huge. I'd love to see you know, like KBF kind of did that, but not really. Like, I don't know. Like, that's weird. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. But like, to see some of those, you know, bigger clubs trying to partner with the smaller ones, I think it just helps with participation in the events.
Yeah.
Nicholas Beltran's asking, will you guys be at ICAST, including Blaine?
Oh yeah, no, I'm not making it to ICAST this year. I got a 1 year old, and I mean, it would be cool to take the week trip down there, but man,
Blaine's grounded.
Blaine's so grounded.
Yeah, he's so slammed at work too.
He's like, mom said no.
Yeah. So. How about you, Jay? You going to ICAST?
I am not going to ICAST.
Guess what? I'll be there.
Yes, I'll be there.
Find me. What booth are you going to be in? I'll be in the new canoe booth.
Look for the giraffe.
Yeah.
Look for the giraffe. That's what it's come to. I'm a giraffe now. Dude, really?
That's what everybody calls me too.
Jesus. Man.
I don't know. For all us, like, you know, normal size people. Well, I mean, I guess normal height. I can't say normal size.
You're not normal height.
No, I'm not.
No, you're pretty average height. Oh, he'll be in the line cutters booth. Sweet, man. Yeah, let's hook up. First beer's on me, man. Right on. Sweet. Well, man, we'll give you the stage. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything like that, man? Did we miss anything? Anything you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say, man, I've said this before, but I appreciate everyone that helps me do what I do, man. And I always like to give shout outs where they're due. My wife's a big supporter of mine. She helps out with a lot of the stuff I do, watches the baby when I'm fishing tournaments. That's not an easy job there. Deals with me, also not an easy job. Want to thank Paddle South Outfitters for everything they do. That's the shop I fish for. And, you know, we've got a great team over there, and all those guys are fantastic. Everybody at Palmetto State, I mean, man, you guys keep me going, man. It's so much fun to come out there and help with these events. And I just want to thank Barry for bringing me on for that. Thanks to New Canoe, you know, helping me chase my dream. That's really cool to be part of that team and have a camaraderie with those guys. And honestly, I think I fish for the best boat brand in the nation, man. I really do. And so I just want to thank everybody that helps me do what I do. Right on.
Nick said he's got a question, or Nicholas Beltran said he's got a question for you. Drop it in the chat, man. Yeah, and then Jerry Ward said, Blaine, aren't you a member of the PDKA?
I'm a member. Yeah, I'm a member of PD Kayak Anglers, at least on Facebook. I'm not a paid member. Those guys, they do a lot of different species, and I keep saying, man, I'm a bassaholic, so I'd be hanging around waiting for the bass month. They do a different species every month. So
oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. And so you do, it's like a monthly, but, you know, it'll be mudfish/bowfin, whatever you want to call them. It'll be gar, it'll be catfish, bass. Then they do some salt stuff too. It's pretty cool. It's definitely sweet. A different format.
Sounds fun, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to like change it up, man.
I know Great Lakes used to kind of do that.
Well, they still do the salmon tournament every September on Lake Michigan, which is cool, man. Like salmon out of a kayak.
What's that other one? Like Kayak Wars, right? Don't they do that too?
Yeah.
Is that even still around? I don't even know.
I'm not sure, man. I fished that in 2018 when I got into the kayak game, and I don't know. I would forget
that place or that's even around. And then as soon as I caught like a crappie, all of a sudden guys are like, hey, where'd you catch that thing? It's like, I need one for the tournament.
So Nick is saying, do you realize that what you did tonight helped many anglers listening in to get out and fish?
Hey man, I'm just trying to do what I can. I have a severe love to be able to share my passion with people. And I've always said, I want to combine my passion and my profession. I mean, I'm starting a business to do that, you know, starting to do a little bit of a little customization of boats and kayaks. So if anyone ever needs anything done, there's my subtle plug, Southern Waters Marine Solutions. So, anyways, but yeah, man, I like to share my passion with other people. I like to get people excited about kayak fishing because it excites me. It's like one of my favorite things on the planet. So it's my therapy. It's my fun. It's everything combined into one. I truly, I mean, my wife doesn't understand it. She's like, how do you just get out there and fish like every weekend? How do you not get bored with it? I'm like, yeah. I will never, never in my life get bored with it. I've been this way since I was 10 years old or, you know, 2 years old, just constantly asking to go, constantly bothering my parents because it's something that I really love.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Yeah, man, it's something special. And I know the first time I sat down and chatted with you on the New Canoe podcast, you know, you're a young dude, and it's good to see young guys like yourself, you know, coming up in the sport and sharing that passion with not only the young guys, the guys your age, and the older guys, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know, that inspires me. Like, when I talk to Jackson Orr, I get fired up, and I'm like, I need to go fish a tournament. Well, like, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's good, man. You know, like, yeah, it's anybody's sport. It's anybody's sport, yeah. You know, and that's what makes it so cool is, like, you know, you don't have to be young. You don't have to be loaded with cash to buy an $80,000 bass boat. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't need the most expensive gear, man. You could go out in a cheap kayak with one rod, one bait, and just cast away, and you're going to have a ball. You know, yeah. that's the beauty of kayak fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you guys want to make your tournaments a little more fun, like try doing like a Snoopy pole kind of thing,
yeah,
kids poles, yeah, or do like a frog only tournament, something like that, you know, just kind of switch it up.
Jay still uses a Snoopy pole, that's why.
Hey, man, I could tell you some stories about like carp and Snoopy poles.
Yeah,
it was like the golden age for me.
Yeah.
30-pound test on a Snoopy pole, or nothing like it. Like walking out into the water to fight the fish that just ran in the cattails.
Little twister tail jig, catching them brim.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Catching them gilly-gillies.
Yeah, getting them crappies.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Never awesome. Yeah, buddy. Well, man, we appreciate you taking time away from the family tonight to sit down, chat, and share your passion with us and everybody watching at home, man. I know some guys came in late. If you guys came in late, this will be saved on the Facebook page, the YouTube page. You could always go back and listen on any of the major podcast platforms. We have a new episode 7 days a week on the podcast platform. This is the only show we do live here. As soon as we get done, this will get uploaded to the podcast platform so you guys can download it and listen. Jay, any final thoughts, words?
Nope.
Yep. What else is new? Oh, man. Thanks, everybody, for all the great feedback tonight, all the questions and stuff like that, man. The chat was really rolling. It was some good times, man. We definitely appreciate you.
Look at Nicholas.
Nicholas, man.
I know. Nicholas. Like, look at this. He's already working for us.
Jerry Ward asks, are we doing a live every week? Yeah, we're live every week, every Thursday, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 5 o'clock out on the West Coast. So, yeah, we're here live. We got all kinds of guests. I believe I'm still waiting for the confirmation, but we'll be talking to some guys from Georgia that do a veterans kayak fishing thing. It's different than Heroes on the Water. They're based out of Georgia, and you know, we'll be talking to them. If not, we may have another fellow podcaster, or we may have Nicholas Beltran. You never know.
Yeah,
you never know.
Wait, who's that?
Yeah. Who is Nicholas Beltran? No, I'm just kidding.
I see his name like almost every other person's name.
Yeah, he's been dropping in the chats, man. He's always got good feedback, man.
It keeps everything rolling.
Yeah, yeah. Trey Johnson asks, Brian, can you call me next week to remind me to listen live? I need the interaction. Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. Send me your phone number in a private message, and I will text you before we go live, so that way you know.
Yeah, set an alarm too, man. Don't you got like a smartphone, man?
We usually post the show up. We usually post it like either Tuesday or Wednesday on the Paddle and Fin Facebook page, so that way you could actually click the reminder link for it. And then, you know, all our shows go live every day on Facebook. They go live at 8 a.m. On YouTube, they go live at 7 a.m. On the podcast platforms, they go live at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I know that schedule, bro. All right. So, but yeah, I'll remind you, dude. I'll do that for you, bro. Just send us a message. Send me a number. I'll text you. I'll be like, hey, Trey. We're going live, bro. Get online. We don't want you to miss out. So, Blaine.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother. Anything coming up in the future, let us know. We'd love to have you back on, sit down and chat. We always do some fun stuff too, panels and things like that. So we'll keep you in mind for that, brother.
Yeah, man.
But, holler at me. Go give that little baby a hug and a kiss. And, thanks for taking the time away from the fam tonight, brother. We'll talk to you soon. All you boys and girls out there in the beautiful interwebs. Oh, ask Blaine. You're killing me, Smalls. That's what Warren Mitchell just tuned in and said.
Oh, man.
Do we got a last minute story here, dude? Do we got a last?
I can give it to you. So, as I said, I work at a body shop. Warren is my dad's college roommate. He's also one of the technicians at our shop. And, I'm a parts manager there, so there's a famed hatred from the text to the parts manager.
Yeah, so, I get it.
Being my dad's son and him knowing my dad as well, I've referred to as Smalls, and then every time I mess up. So we went on a beach trip a couple years ago, and someone found me a T-shirt that says, I'm Smalls.
I got the You're Killing Me Smalls T-shirt from Sandlot. I got one of those. I like it. All right, boys and girls, till next time, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.